and read through verse 35. Very wonderful story here. True story, of course, not just a story or any story, but a true story, this being the Word of God. It must be true. And the people of God hear it. Beginning the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were hidden that they should not know him. And he said to them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said to him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not." Then he said to them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread." May the Lord bless the reading of his sacred word to our hearts and minds. Again, we pray thee, O Lord, we praise thee for the everlasting truth that we have come to know through faith in you, through your word. And we ask that you would bless us once again through the hearing of your word and the preaching upon it. We ask this too in your wonderful name, the name of Jesus. This is one of the scriptures that moves me quite a bit. I know the feeling. I can identify with it from my past, how one's heart burns within him as the scriptures are opened up to his mind and to his soul. And these these early disciples on the road to Emmaus, with the Lord, though hidden at first from them, were just ushered into joy at the telling of the Scriptures, the true meaning of Scripture revealed to them by the Lord, and then, of course, the revelation that it was He when the breaking of bread occurred. What a wonderful thing. And then they were weary at this point. They were tired, but they had to go back to Jerusalem and let it be known to the disciples, only there to meet with their jubilation, because the Lord had appeared to Simon. And they were all excited about what had happened, that He was risen, and risen indeed. So I want to talk in the time remaining about the indeed. What's this risen indeed have to do with things? Why isn't it just He's risen? Why did they say, and why is it said anyway, indeed? And then in the second place, I want to speak about His being, He is risen. The indeed first, and then He is risen. And that this is no figment of imagination. And then in the third place, I want to talk about He was raised, and just identify the difference between He is risen and He was raised, and why that has significance as well. And then finally, He is risen and raised in our hearts. He is risen and raised in our hearts. So first, I want to speak about this risen indeed. Why indeed? Well, what went on prior to His appearing before the women, to the disciples, the apostles? What was the problem? What happened? Well, what was happening was this. They were perplexed. They were doubtful. They had crucified the mighty Lord, the wonder worker, the marvelous teacher, the chief priests, the scribes. They crucified Him. They put Him to death. They buried Him. Put Him in a tomb. And they were really troubled by this. No doubt you and I would have been too. The Lord had grown to love, and who taught us well, and who is a prophet, had been a prophet to our lives, to our spiritual lives, was taken from us and put to death in such an ignoble fashion, in a noble way. They were perplexed. They were concerned. Remember what happened when He revealed Himself, or he was walking. He actually came as a stranger at first and revealed to them the Scriptures. Was revealing to the Scriptures to them, how they were saying. Now they said, well, when He said to them, what things are you talking about? And they said, are you the only person in all of Jerusalem who hasn't heard about Jesus of Nazareth? A powerful person, one that did deeds, great deeds with power, and spoke with authority, and went about all of Jerusalem, all the Palestine area, doing only that which was good in healing and helping people, and they just poured out their hearts to him. Unburdened themselves. And you know something else? We thought that he was the one. He was the one to redeem Israel. And now, he's gone from us. And you know, we heard these things from our women, that they went to the sepulchre and didn't find him, and an angel was there and told them that he's no longer in the tomb, he's alive. And that has us really concerned. Like, what's going on? We heard these things. In fact, we heard that the story that the soldiers, the guard at the sepulchre ran away because they saw an angel, and they were startled. They fell down as if dead, and then they got up and ran away. But then we had contradictory things that the disciples stole his body away. And so we don't know what to make of it. You know, and you could tell that they're speaking to Jesus all these things. And then he reveals himself to them. Through the breaking of bread and the blessing. And they were startled. That's where the indeed comes from. Not only is he risen, but he's risen indeed, because before this, we were doubtful. Before this, we were anxious. We were wondering, we were perplexed, we were wondering what has happened. Why were we so off with this guy? But now we know that he's risen. So henceforth, he is risen indeed. The indeed communicates certainty, communicates lack of doubt, confirmation. Yes, he's risen. He's risen indeed. That's why we say what we say on Easter Sunday as a congregation. That's what we normally do. We put the indeed in because the people of God are confident of this. It's happened to them. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, just to emphasize the fact that he is risen. So we know why the indeed does away with the perplexity. The indeed does away with the uncertainty. I know, the way I would say it now is, I know Jesus Christ is risen. I know it with all my being, I know it. In fact, I've given my life to it. I have devoted my life to it. I can't help myself. When I found out the truth, I couldn't help myself. I had to study. I had to read. I had to know more and more. And now I know. I don't have any doubt. Not about this. No uncertainty. He's risen. Now again, that has brought with it to them such joy. Yes, confidence and peace of mind and all that, but such joy that they don't realize yet. These disciples, these early disciples, didn't realize what this meant. all that this meant. They still were kind of cloudy about why the cross. They didn't see the connection between the cross and the resurrection until, of course, Christ opened up the scriptures to them and taught them, having admonished them for their foolishness and their unbelief. And so he teaches them, and they are just brought up to speed somewhat, but still not completely. They're still a little foggy about the connection between the cross and the resurrection, because they had to be made to understand. And only through the pouring of the Spirit into their lives would they truly understand how Jesus had to become a man. Christ had to become the Messiah, had to become a man, had to take on the flesh. He had to give himself over to be crucified, to be first criticized and persecuted and argued against and suffer, finally to the point of dying and death, be buried, be put in the tomb, and stay in that, in the grave, for 3 days. And on the third day, rise again. They had to understand. They were coming to understand more and more, but they still didn't quite get the whole picture yet, but they were coming to understand that it had to be this way in order for them, in order for us to be safe and saved. And after this life, if there is life after this life, and there surely is, to know where you're going. And the only way you can do that is to know that Jesus Christ, to believe that he rose from the grave, because if he did not rise, then no one will ever rise from the grave. And no one will go to heaven. The resurrection isn't true, as Paul points out. Your faith is in vain. You're the worst people in the world because you're liars. You're saying that there's a resurrection when there isn't. You're giving people false hope when there is no hope. You are not telling the truth. And so you're the worst people on earth, and you ought to be condemned. You ought to be persecuted. You ought to be dragged to prison. You ought to have all your goods confiscated from you. Because that's what's happening today in many parts of the world. And even in the United States of America, there's a lot of persecution about, and there's a lot of criticism that they're trying to take away Christians' livelihoods, right? Because we don't hold the same opinion they do about certain behaviors and people and sinfulness. And so they want to wipe us out, if not physically, financially, psychologically, emotionally. But if they truly believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing. If they believe, truly believe, that he is risen. Because if he is risen, then the promises that he makes that you too will be risen become real and significant. And then we listen. Then we learn. But you see, you're not going to learn anything not truthfully and spiritually and wholeheartedly unless you truly believe this has happened. that he is risen, and he's risen indeed. Without uncertainty, without a doubt, what happens to you is that when you start believing that he is risen and that he's risen indeed, it changes your life. It makes all the difference in the world. Then you begin to believe that what Paul said, that I am to focus now on the things that are above, heavenly things rather than earthly things. He is risen means that he has come back from the dead, but not to join the disciples again. You see, that's the problem that people have in understanding the resurrection, that somehow he rose to come back to the disciples. That's what the disciples first thought, but he did not come back to join them. He came back, or he came up from the grave to go ahead of them, for them to join him later on. He did not come rise from the grave to them. He rose from the grave to heaven. He stopped along the way before he went to heaven to appear to them and to bless them and to teach them some more, and then he ascended. And because he ascended to heaven, because he rose to go to heaven, not to go to the disciples, but to go to heaven, he sends his spirit, his heavenly spirit, to them. And they begin to learn more what it is that Jesus has truly done. You see, Jesus Christ, dear people, is called the Redeemer. He redeems us, not so that we can beautify the earth, not so that we can make things better here, to redeem that which was perverted by sin and destroyed by sin. No. He came to redeem us in a spiritual, heavenly way. Likewise, the resurrection, he was raised not to bring us back to paradise, you know, before the fall. He's not the first man. The first man, Adam, was earthly, of the earth and earthly. But the second man is heavenly. And he came, he was risen from the grave so that he could bring us to heaven, to bring us up to heavenly heights, not down to the earth again, not to restore the planet, not to make this a better place to live, this sin-cursed environment. Although if you obey his ways, and if everybody did, it would be a better place to live in. But that's not the point. He's a heavenly one. So yes, he did, in a way, have the same body, but it was different, right? Before it was weak, but now it's strong. Before it was corruptible, but now it's incorruptible. Before it was mortal, but now it is immortal. Before it was earthly, but now his body is heavenly. This is the heavenly one. And he's come to raise us up to heaven's heights, not these things below, right? Keep your mind on things above, where Christ is, not on things below. Oh, if we could get out of all the details of our life, if we could just free ourselves for, I'd say about a minute, certainly 5 minutes. I mean, could free ourselves completely from this earth, you'd know what I'm getting at. You don't understand what Jesus was teaching his disciples. It's not about this place. It's about that place where you're going. It's about heavenly things, not about all this stuff. Yeah, we have to deal with this stuff. And oh, it's so important to us. And again, you know, I'm the same way as you. And I'm not trying to minimize people's complaints or problems or whatever, their lives and what they're seeking out, but come on. Your emphasis or emphases, your priorities are screwed up because of this place, and because you're so sensuous, and because you can't see beyond your nose. It takes Christ. And that's why he's not only risen, he was risen. He was raised by the power of God. And what that means to us is that he was raised by the power of God. And if he was raised by the power of God, then so am I raised by the power of God even now. So that the resurrection is not just a fact. Oh, yeah, it was great, and it brings joy, and it brings celebration, and everybody's happy that this, even if they believe the history, the historical fact that he was raised, it's not as important as knowing that he is risen in your heart, that he's risen in your life, that he's truly raised you up to heavenly heights where he is. That's the power of the resurrection. In other words, he's given you a resurrection hope. Not from without, from the news and from the facts that yes, they didn't find the body because the body wasn't there. The body was alive and well and appeared to different people at different times, over 500 people at one time. It was all true, it's all fact, it's all history, but more than that, it's in my soul. And so I have this lively hope that where he is, I will be. And what happened to him will happen to me. And I am going to join him in resurrection glory. That's the meaning, if you will, the message of Easter. That's the joy that we have. It's not just from the news. That's good. That's fine. But it's from the power that is within us. It's unshakable. It's life-changing. It's the message that echoes from my soul outwardly. That, yes, he's risen indeed. No doubt. No uncertainty. It's life. It's liberty. And it's happening now. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for your your word. Yes, we can appreciate how the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, as they were taught by you, their hearts were burning within them. The scriptures were being opened for the first time to them. And they knew, you knew what the scriptures were saying. And then you revealed yourself to them, and they're just elated. It never ended for them. Sure, it never ended. No matter what happened in their life after that, they were at peace with God through Jesus Christ. This was long-lasting. And may it be for each and every one of us long-lasting. May we, Lord, in a word, can we say this? Can we pray this? May we all, each and every one of us, live forever through faith in Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. Bless us on our way this day, we pray in your name. Amen. Let's, in closing, sing hymn number 278. 278.